Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, when the Lord is pleased to give a man or woman eternal life, and he prayed that in John 17, he said, "Thou hast given me authority over all flesh, that I should give eternal life." Eternal life is his gift. "And I shall give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he hath sent." Now, when God is pleased to give a sinner eternal life, he does a work of grace for him, on behalf of him. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. By his stripes we're healed. He does a work for us. Works out of perfect righteousness, satisfies God's law, honors God's justice, does a work for us. But when God is pleased to give eternal life to a sinner, he does a work of grace in him, not only for him, but in him. Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who lives in me." Christ in you, that's the hope of glory. So, note four things in reference to that before we get into our study of chapter 2. So, the elect of God first are chosen in Christ. They're born of God's Spirit. They're redeemed by the blood of Christ. They have a perfect righteousness by his obedience. They're quickened and indwelt by his Spirit. Paul said, "I give thanks unto you. I give thanks unto God, beloved, for you, because God hath chosen you." And secondly, the elect of God are given a new heart and a new spirit and a new nature, a new family and a new direction. They're born of God. I would like for you to turn to John 1, and let's look at this over here just a moment. John chapter 1, verse 12. They're chosen of God, and they're given a new heart and a new nature in this saving work. In John 1, verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power, the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born." These people were born. We call it, our Lord called it born again, begotten again. But they're born not of blood. That means not of natural generation. That's not of blood. We call somebody blood kin. Well, that's not how we're born. That's the fleshly birth, blood kin. And they're not born of the will of the flesh, their own flesh. They're not born of the will of man, but they're born of God. So they're chosen of God, and they're born of God. They're given a new heart, new nature, new life, new direction. But thirdly, this new life, this new nature, is a babe. A babe in Christ, just like when a new baby is born to a mother and father, it's a baby. And it grows. And God's children are born into his family as babies. In 1 Peter 2, verse 2, it says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word." God's children are born babies too, spiritual babies. Babes in Christ. Turn to Hebrews 5. You see this again, Hebrews chapter 5. They're born of God, but they're born babies, little children. They're not born full grown. They're not born wise elders. They're born babies, and babies need milk. Hebrews 5, verse 13. Everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. He's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, grown up. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. They've got wisdom brought to them through years of study and years of experience and years of growth. So God's people are elected. They're born again with a new nature. But when they're born, they're babes. You'll see that in 1 John 2, if you want to turn over to 1 John chapter 2. Another scripture tells us the degrees of growth in the family of God. In 1 John 2, verse 13, he says, I write unto you fathers, because you've known him that's from the beginning. This is not talking about age naturally. It's not talking about he's writing to everybody in here 70 years old. A person can be more mature in Christ at 30 than a man 70. Depends upon the grace of God and his use of the Scriptures. But this is spiritual fathers. I write unto you fathers because you've known him from the beginning. I write unto you young men because you've overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children because you've known the Father. You've known the Father. See that? Babes, children. We're called novices. If you'll turn to 1 Timothy 5, a novice is a beginner, an apprentice, a learner. Not a leader, a learner. 1 Timothy 5, verse 22. It says here, talking about elders and preachers and leaders in the church, verse 22 of 1 Timothy 5, lay hands suddenly on no man. On no man. Neither be a partaker of other men's sins. In other words, other men lay hands suddenly on fellows. Don't you do it just because they do. Don't let them talk you into or persuade you into putting responsibility on shoulders that can't bear it. They're not ready. They're babies. Don't give a baby too much to do. He'll mess himself up and everybody else too. 1 Timothy 3, verse 5. Talking about these leaders in the church. Verse 5, 1 Timothy 3. If a man doesn't know how to rule his own house, how can he take care of the church of God? Not a novice. Don't lay hands on a novice. Don't make him a leader, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. So this is the fact. God's people are chosen. They're born of the Spirit of God. They have life, a new life in them. But they're babies. And that brings me to the fourth thing. The Bible talks about growth. Spiritual growth. If you'll turn over to 2 Peter, John quoted this a minute ago while he was reading. In 2 Timothy 3, there's a growth. In 2 Timothy 3:18, I'll come back to this in a few moments. But grow in grace. Grow in grace. And grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what babies do. They grow. They grow. And one other scripture in Ephesians 4. In Ephesians chapter 4. And this is a spiritual growth is what it is. A spiritual growth. It depends upon teaching and instruction and experience and trial and and faithfulness and willingness. And in Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 11, well, verse 10, he that descended is the same also that ascendeth up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. And when he ascended, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some missionaries. That's what an evangelist is, missionaries. And some pastors and teachers. That's the same office. A pastor is a teacher. For the perfecting of the saints, the maturity of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. That's a mature man. No man's perfect. That's maturity. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, listen, that we henceforth be no more children, babes in Christ, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They wait out there to deceive folks. But speaking the truth in love, do it in love. Speak the truth, but do it with compassion, that we may grow up. You ever hear a mother say to a child, I wish you'd grow up. I wish you'd grow up. That's what this is talking about. That we may grow up into him. That's where we are. We're in him and grow in him. Grow in grace and the knowledge of him. It's in grow in Christ. Grow up in him, into him, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, with that in mind, and this growth is accomplished through the teaching of the Word, through the knowledge and belief of the Word, and God's people are not offended by His Word. They're not offended by His Word. So let's look at chapter 2 of 1 Peter and just have a little study here, a brief study in these first 10 verses. Wherefore, laying aside. Now, if a fellow's going to write with a new pen, he'll have to lay the old one down. If a fellow's going to work with new tools, he'll have to discard the old tools. If a fellow's going to walk a new walk, he's going to have to turn from the old walk. Turn from the idols to the living God. If we plan to walk with God like Enoch of old, we're going to have to lay aside the old companions and the old ways. Just lay them aside. Wherefore, laying aside. And this is not a once-for-all thing. He said, wherefore, laying aside. It didn't say having laid aside. It says laying aside. All malice. What is malice? It's ill will. It's ill feelings toward others. Malice is born of self-love. That's where it comes from. Self-love. Lay it aside. All guile. What is guile? That's dishonesty. It's deceit. It's using dishonest ways to gain our goals. Lay it aside. And hypocrisies. What is that? That's the opposite of sincerity. Hypocrisy is always the opposite of sincerity. Pretension is hypocrisy. Speaking with the lips what's not in the heart. Just lay it aside. All envies. Lay aside envy. The best definition that I've ever read concerning envy is this. Listen to it. Envy is that uneasy feeling. Envy is that uneasy feeling that a person gets over the happiness, success, or gifts of another. Envy doesn't always say anything. Envy doesn't always do anything. Envy is that uneasy feeling over the happiness, success, or gifts of another. Lay that aside. and all evil speaking. Usually when you think of evil speaking, you think of dirty words and cursing, but that doesn't have any reference to believers. This is talking to believers. As newborn babes, a newborn babe in Christ is not a filthy mouth person. This right here has to do with speaking unkindly. Unkind, impatiently, harshly. That's evil speaking. Speaking unkindly of a person who's absent. Speaking inaccurate reports, not having heard the other side. That's evil speaking. Talking about things we don't know anything about. That's evil speaking. See, we're not talking here about blasphemy. A believer is not going to blaspheme God. A believer is not going to take God's name in vain. A believer is not going to talk dirty and curse. No, this is talking to believers about any kind of speaking that's evil, unkind, impatient, false report, inaccurate information. You know, David, in Psalm 141, let me ask you to turn over there a minute. David wrote something over here that was so interesting, a reference that I found on this speaking business. While you're finding that Psalm 141, everything is transacted by speech in the natural world and in the spiritual world. Transacted by speech. The tongue is the prime instrument in the cause of God. How does God present the gospel? With somebody's voice, somebody's tongue. How does God comfort the bereaved? With somebody's words of comfort. How does God teach His people? Words, the tongue. But also the tongue is the chief instrument of Satan. The chief instrument. James says it's set on fire with hell. And he says this is something that is just not right for impure water to come out of the same fountain with pure water. To curse men and bless God out of the same mouth. Out of the same mouth to bless God and talk about His grace and mercy and kindness. Turn around and speak hatefully and evil. And that type of matter to me. And that's these things ought not to be. And David said in Psalm 141:3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Put a guard there. Put a watch before my mouth. David prays for God to help him to guard and control and order his tongue because he knows how important it is. Keep, O Lord, the door of my lips. Keep my lips. All right, back to our text. If we're going to grow, we're going to have to lay some things aside. We're going to have to lay some things aside. Malice, guile, deceit, pretension, hypocrisies, envies, evil speaking, jealousy. And as newborn babes, he takes for granted we're born of God, children of God. Therefore, as a baby desires the breast. What? That little fellow, he wants to eat. And as a newborn baby, desire the sincere milk of the Word. What is the sincere milk of the Word? It's what we're doing right now. It's the pure, it's the unmixed, pure Word of God. It's not reading the Word and then reading a bunch of fellas that wrote on it. It's reading His Word. The unmixed, pure, desire the unmixed, pure Word of God. I know we use helps. I use them. A while ago, I quoted that statement about envy. I read that. Some fellow wrote that. That's good. The uneasy feeling that a person experiences when someone else is blessed and he's not. Or happy and he's not. And he gets uneasy. That's envy. And we can use helps. But I tell you, too many helps becomes a hindrance. Too many helps become a hindrance. He wants us to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that we may what? That we may grow thereby. Grow how? Don't take one of these Bible study courses and learn all the king's names and all the dates and all the kingdoms and all the millenniums and all these things. Grow in grace. That's where we need to grow. Grow in grace. Grow in the knowledge of Christ. All that other information is just clutter. Just clutters your brain. Clutters your mind. We need to grow in grace, in love, in faith, in patience, in kindness, in meekness, in humility. Grow in the fruit of the Spirit. Grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ. Know more of Him. That's where we need to grow. We don't need facts and intellect and swell heads. We need to know Him, His way, His will. Be like Him. Be like Him. The simpler things. The kind and loving and gracious things of God. Faith. Feast on Him. Well, verse 3, if so be that you are a babe and you have tasted the Lord is gracious. He's good. He's good. Here's another reference to the psalm. Turn to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Listen to this. Psalm 34. If you've tasted the Lord is gracious. This is where that came from. Psalm 34, 8. You see, these writers in the New Testament, they keep reaching back to the old. They reach back and take these scriptures. And here's what Peter is talking about. What David said in Psalm 34. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is that man trusteth in Him. It's mature and grown up in Christ and just resting. Resting in Christ. Have you tasted? The Lord is good. He's sufficient. He's good. He delights to show mercy. He's always good. Even down to old age, all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. Blessed is that man who rests and trusts in Christ. I was listening to a preacher the other day, and he's talking about fast lane Christians. We need to get in the fast lane. No, you need to get out of it. You don't want to be a fast lane Christian. He means the whoop to do, and kicking up your heels, and learn to be a soul winner and all that. You don't need that. We need to grow in grace, graciousness, love in Christ. And the knowledge of the Savior. That's what we need. You don't need all this, what's going on in religion today. You don't even need to be a part of it. All right, verse 4. To whom coming? Here's the secret. To whom coming? Here's the secret of salvation. Come to Christ. Of growth in grace. Come to Christ. Of assurance. Come to Christ. Of perseverance. Come to Christ. Of maturity. Come to Christ. Look to Christ. Looking unto Him, author and finisher of our faith. To whom coming? And faith and repentance is a continual exercise. A continual exercise of love and a continual exercise of looking, believing, trusting, receiving. Like a child keeps coming back to the mother and to the father. Just keeps coming back. Who is this one to whom coming? Well, look here at verse 4. To whom coming as unto... He's a living stone. Rock of ages. Foundation. Living stone. I shall not be moved. I'm planted on a rock. He's disallowed indeed of men. No, he's not popular with the world, the religious world. The world knew him not, and the Jews rejected him. Disallowed indeed of men. But listen, chosen of God. That man in the Old Testament who was the priest, who represented men to God and God to me and in things pertaining to God. He didn't take that honor upon himself, but he was chosen of God. And Christ our Lord is not only the living stone, he's disallowed indeed of men, but he's the one God chose to represent you. He's a court-appointed lawyer. And he'll do you good. And not only that, but he's precious. Ah, my, he's precious. His word's precious. His promises are precious. His blood is precious. His faith is precious. And everybody who dies in Christ, precious is their death. Come on. Going to a Bible study. Well, that's good if you're learning of Christ. Are we going to get together for a discussion? I hope you talk about him. Anything else will ruin you. In spiritual matters, in growing, that's right. And you also, I'm going to skip verse 5 for a moment. You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Christ. I'll come back to that. But look at verse 6. This is talking about to whom coming. This is that living stone, disallowed indeed of men, chosen of God and precious. Wherefore also it's contained in the Scripture. Here we go again. Peter's talking about the Old Testament. Behold, I lay in Zion. Who's Zion? That's the church. I lay in Zion, the church, a chief cornerstone. Elect, precious, and he that believeth on him will never be ashamed. He'll never be confounded. Now, what's he quoting? Where's the scripture there that Peter's, that we come into Christ now? Chosen of God, precious, living stone, chief cornerstone. Turn to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. Here's the scripture that he's quoting. Wherefore, it's written in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion. Now here, Isaiah 28. I want you to look at this. In verse 14, Isaiah 28, and Isaiah rebukes these men who disallowed the chief cornerstone, who rejected Christ. Wherefore, verse 14, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because you've said, we've made a covenant with death. We're not afraid to die. And with hell are we at agreement. We're not afraid of hell. And you say, when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, when judgment comes to all men, it won't come unto us. We've got a refuge. But you've made lies your refuge. We got a place to hide. It's not in the rock of ages. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. They've rejected the rock, the stone, the foundation, the chief cornerstone, the living stone. They're hiding under falsehood. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation. I laid this foundation. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. I laid this foundation. Watch it. He's a stone, durable, eternal, rock of ages. Someone said one time, people today are busy studying the ages of the rocks. Oh, what a blessing it'd be if they could discover the rock of ages. A stone, a tried stone. He's tried by God. He's tried by men. He's tried by law. He's tried by Satan. He's tried by justice. He's tried by time. He's a tried stone. Victorious. And he's a precious cornerstone. He's the first. What's a cornerstone? It's the chief stone. It's the keystone. It's the chief stone in the building. And that's our Lord. And he's a sure foundation. It'll never give way. They'll never perish. And he that believeth on him will never make haste. He'll never be confounded. He'll never fail. All right, verse 7. Now watch this. Unto you therefore, which believe, he's precious. Unto you that believe. This cornerstone, this chief cornerstone is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. Even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were also appointed. You know, there are thousands of philosophies, religious philosophies. There are thousands of religious denominations. There are thousands of what we call faiths or beliefs. There are thousands of thoughts and ideas about God. But here Peter narrows them down to two. Just two. Unto you that believe and unto them that don't. God said, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, elect and precious, a chief cornerstone, a tried stone, a sure foundation. And unto you that believe, he's precious. Unto them that don't believe, he's a stone of stone. That's right. To you who've seen your guilt, your inability, and your need of a Redeemer, who've seen the promises of God to sinners in Christ, who've seen his person, his redemptive work, his incarnation, his obedience, his death, his resurrection, his exaltation, his glory, if you've seen him, to you he's precious. He's your foundation. He's your chief cornerstone. He's your rock. He's your confidence. He's precious. But unto them that do not believe, what is he to them? Verse 8 says he's a stone of stumbling. What is a stumbling stone? Well, you fall over it. You fall over it. You fumble and stumble and fall over it. It's in your way. It troubles you. It bothers you. You don't have any. It's not in place. It's in place to you because you're standing on it. You're built of your hope, and your house is built on that stone. But they got their house out here, and every time they come out of it, they stumble over that stone. Every time they see the stone, it causes them problems. It's a problem stone and a stumbling stone. It's a rock of offense. That's what Christ is. They have no interest in his death, but they know he died. They have no interest in his life, but they know he lived. They have no faith in his death, but they know he suffered. They have no hope in his resurrection, but they know he rose. They have no confidence in his exaltation and his mediatorial work, but they know he's there. He bothers the stuffings out of them. He's a rock of offense. Don't mention that name. That's what the Pharisees said to the disciples. Preach all you want to, but don't preach that man. He bothers them. Don't you believe it doesn't. It bothers them. He's a stone of stumbling. He's a rock of offense. They'll talk about the little baby. They'll talk about the good man, Jesus. But don't mess with this blood stuff. They don't want any here. They won't hear that. They won't hear about this sovereign Lord. They won't hear about this crucified substitute. They won't hear about this reigning king who does what he will with whom he will. They stumble at his birth. They stumble at his claims. They stumble at his death. They stumble at his gospel. They stumble at his name. He's a rock of offense. Well, here's the sad thing. Unto you that believe, he's precious. Tell me about him. Tell me about him. The more you talk about him, the better I like it, preacher. He's precious. You can't lift him too high or praise him too much or glorify him too much. Anything you say is inadequate. as far as he's concerned, he's precious. He's my hope, my wisdom, my righteousness, my sanctification, my redemption. But to them who do not know him, he's a stone of stumbling, he's a rock of offense. But whereunto also they were appointed. That's the place God carved out for them. That's right. I don't know a whole lot about that, but I just know it's so. I know Pharaoh. Pharaoh occupied the seat God pulled up for him. Judas occupied the office God made for him. And the people in Acts 4 with wicked hands crucified the Lord of glory, but they did what God ordained that should be done. Appointed. They're vessels of mercy, appointed. They're vessels of wrath, appointed. That's right. But you, now come back to verse 5. But you, you're a living stone. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad Mikey's precious to you? Wouldn't you hate to be appointed to wrath? Wouldn't you hate to be an instrument in the hand of Satan to battle Christ? To fight the Son of God? You're a living stone. A living stone. You built up a spiritual house. We're talking about a spiritual house. Whose house we are if we hold fast our profession of faith. You built up a spiritual house. You're a holy priesthood. You're priest. Every one of you, priest. Every one of us. What do we offer? Spiritual sacrifices. Faith. While you were singing a while ago, Pharisee Lord Jesus, you were offering to Him spiritual sacrifices. Praise. When John was praying, leading us in prayer, we were offering sacrifices of thanksgiving and prayer. When we're reading His Word, we were praising God. That's spiritual sacrifices that are well pleasing to God and acceptable to God. Watch out now. By Jesus Christ. Ain't nothing you ever said God accepts without Him. Nothing you've ever done. Nothing you've ever given. Everything is in Him. That's when He's so precious. And one more verse, verse 9. Your chosen generation. The Father chose you. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't apologize for that. You chose your bride. He chose His. Your royal priesthood. You see, Aaron wasn't a royal priest. Melchizedek was a royal priest, king priest. He made us kings and priests unto our God. We're not just priests, we're king priests, royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. Israel never was a holy nation. It's a nation, but not holy. But you're holy, without blame, spotless. You're a peculiar people. He says, that means strange. Well, to the world, you're strange. You're strangers and you're strange. What you love, they don't love. What you count valuable, they don't. You're purchased people is what that word is. Purchased. You're different. God made a difference. You know, their family is known for their family traits. That's right. And God's family is known for their virtues. And the workings of Him, their Father. They bear the likeness of the Father and the older brother. And He says in verse 10, but you were at one time not a people. What does that mean? That means the Gentiles. That's what that's talking about. Every sheep has always been a sheep. Every beloved's always been beloved. But there was a time when it says over here in Ephesians 2, I'll read this and quit. Ephesians 2. If you turn over there, this is what this is talking about. At one time you were not a people. It says here in Ephesians 2:12, at that time you were, verses 11, wherefore remember in time past you were Gentiles in the flesh, called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, the flesh made by hands. At that time you were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world, but now in Christ Jesus. You who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. All right, I pray God will bless that that study to your profit, to your hearts.